This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a series called The Foundation of a Life Well Lived. In these teachings, Rick shows us that God has given each one of us something special, whether it's talent, education, opportunities, ideas, or creativity. And he wants us to use what he's given us for his glory and for our benefit. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help strengthen your prayer life. It's the redesigned Daily Hope Prayer Journal with all new art and graphics for 2020. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called God's Five Purposes for Your Life.
The most important thing you can do is to know God, and the most important thing you can experience in life is to experience His love, to let God love you and learn to love you back. Why? Because God made you to have a relationship with Him. He didn't make you to not have a relationship. Now, this first purpose, you might write this down, is called worship. A lot of people think worship means singing. No. Singing is one way to worship, but there are hundreds of ways to worship. Worship is simply enjoying God's love and loving Him back. Worship is enjoying God's love and loving Him back. It's having a friendship, a relationship with God. Anytime you focus on God, you're worshiping. Anytime you get your eyes off your problems and onto Jesus, you're worshiping. Anytime you talk to Him or you listen to Him, you're worshiping. Worship is centering my life on God. Now, here's the truth. You're going to center your life around something. You may center it around your career. You may center it around your family. You may center around making money or being famous or your hobby or whatever. Anything besides God at the center of your life, you know what that's called? An idol. And the Bible says you will have no idols, no gods before me, and don't make any idols. How do you know, by the way, when something else has taken the center of your life instead of God? How do you know when something's taken the place of God at the nucleus, at the heart of your life? Real simple. You start worrying. Worry is the warning light that something besides God is at the center of your life. You start stressing out. You get fearful. In contrast to that, how can you tell when God is the center of your life, when your life is centered on Him? You're at peace. You stop worrying. Look at this verse. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Isn't that a beautiful paraphrase of Philippians? Worship is the antidote to worry. It's your choice. So the first and most important question in your life is this: what's going to be the center of my life for the rest of my life? This is the most important issue that you decide. It is the issue of worship. Now, let me give you a little hint. Nothing else is strong enough to hold you together. Anything else you put at the center of your life, whether it's a sport or a hobby or a career or money or fun or family or any other activity, it's not strong enough to hold you together when the heat's on and the earthquakes happen in your life. You have to have God at the center, and that's what worship is all about. And God says, if you're going to live here on earth, that's what I want you to do. First, make me number one. Put me at the focus, at the nucleus. Here's the second purpose. God wants me to learn to love His family. Did you know that? God, the whole issue of life is learning how to love God and learn how to love other people. He puts you here on earth to learn how to love. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, why is He so interested in love? Because God is love. In fact, God is love, and He created you as an object of His love. God wanted a family. That family is called the church. It's the only thing that's going to last forever. And God wants me to find a local church and join it and get connected so I can learn what I call the 56 one another's in the Bible. 56 times in the Bible, the phrase one another is used. And it says, love one another, care for one another, help one another, pray for one another, serve one another, greet one another, comfort one another. There are 56 of these in the Bible. Where are you going to do that if you're not a part of some local church? See, God uses the church as a laboratory for learning how to really love. And God says, you know, if you love me, but you don't know how to love my family, you're just kidding yourself. He says, you can't say you love God and not love other people. Church is the lab for learning to love. Now, in heaven, you know what you're going to do in heaven? Well, one of the things you're going to do in heaven is you're going to love the rest of God's family. Right now, here on earth, he wants you to practice before you get there. He wants you to practice learning how. Now, it's easy to love people who are lovely, like you, but he wants to teach you how to learn unlovely people. It's like that little poem, to dwell above with those we love. Well, that will be a glory. But to dwell below with those we know, that's another story. See, God doesn't leave you on earth to live in an isolated, insulated life. Yes, he wants you to love him, but he also wants you to learn to love his family. And in Hebrews 10:25, it says this, let us not give up the habit, circle that word, habit. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. It's what we're doing right now. He says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Every time we meet in a small group, in a worship service, or any time else we meet as members of God's family, we encourage each other. Now, this second purpose, write this down, is called fellowship. The first purpose of your life is worship, centering God at the center of your life. The second purpose of your life is fellowship, learning to love God's family. And God expects you to make fellowship a habit. He says, don't give up that habit. Why? Because you need encouragement. You know, you were created for relationships. That's why the very first thing God said after he made man was, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, he's not talking about shallow relationships. He's talking about significant ones. You know, I read again this week here in the state of California that the Department of Mental Health in California did a study, and they discovered that if you isolate yourself from other people and you don't develop any close friendships, fellowship, listen to, here's the result. You are 3 times more likely to die an early death. You are 4 times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You are 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed, and you are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. If you don't have supportive, loving relationships, fellowship in your life. So if you're still not in a small group, you owe it to your own health to get in a small group. To start one, it is absolutely imperative for your physical health, not just your spiritual health, and for your emotional health and your mental health. The Bible tells us that everyone has a longing for belonging. We all need to feel connected. The Bible calls this fellowship, and it means living life together. So it's not enough just to make God the center of your life. The Christian life is not a solo act. We're never meant to face life alone. I've told you many, many times the small group that I've been in for nearly 2 decades has been a lifesaver for me. Now, how does God want you to connect with other believers? Well, he gives us a practical model in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about the very first church. It was the church at Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42 and 46, it gives us a number of things that they did. All of these things are elements of fellowship. So I want us to read this. I want to read it aloud together, okay? I want you to read this, Acts chapter 2, 41, 42, and 46, aloud with me. Okay, let's read it together. Those who believed were baptized and added to the church, and they joined the church with other believers and committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They worshiped together regularly at the temple, and they met in small groups in homes. Now, I want you to notice that that passage is very, very specific, and I want you to note the order of fellowship. First, he says they believed. God wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. Second, He wants you to be baptized. That's the second thing that's mentioned. Third, they joined a church family, the fellowship. And you could take class 101 here at Saddleback Church, join our church family. Fourth, they committed to regular worship and Bible study. It said the apostles' teaching. What's the apostles' teaching? It's the New Testament. It's the Bible in the New Testament. So they committed to worship and Bible study. And finally, they connected to a small group fellowship in a home. Now, let me just pause here and ask, which of these steps have you taken? Are there any that you haven't taken? If you haven't taken any, circle that one. You need to be baptized. You need to join a small group. You need to join a church family. Now, if you've taken all five of these steps, you just need to write underneath it, be consistent in it. Keep on Bible study, doing Bible study. Keep on worshiping with others. Keep on being in a small group. If God gives you 15 more years like he gave Hezekiah, he expects you to do these things because this is the second purpose of life, fellowship with other believers, worship of God. Number three, the third purpose of life is this. God wants me to cultivate spiritual maturity. He wants me to become like Jesus Christ. He wants me to grow up. God doesn't leave you here on earth just to remain a spiritual baby. He wants me to cultivate spiritual maturity. As I said, he wants you to grow up. Once you're born into God's family, he wants you to grow in God's family. And he wants you to grow in knowing his word and in trusting his wisdom and in obeying his instructions and in loving his family and in developing the character of Christ, becoming more and more like Jesus, thinking like Jesus and feeling like Jesus and having the attitudes of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 talks about this purpose. It says this, let us go on, in other words, keep going, and become mature in our understanding as strong Christians ought to be. God wants you to grow up. This third purpose, by the way, if you want to write this down, is called discipleship. Discipleship. Centering my life around God, worship. Loving God's family, fellowship. Growing spiritually in my character, what I do and think and act and say, discipleship. Now, what's discipleship? Well, disciple is just an old word for student. It means a learner. God wants you to be a lifelong learner for the rest of your life. That's what a disciple is. It just means you're growing. You don't get stuck. You know, sadly, a lot of people today grow old without growing up spiritually. They grow old without growing up. They get stuck in perpetual immaturity. They're saved, but they're shallow. Those of you who are parents, if you had kids and they never grew up, that would be a tragedy. And a follower of Christ who doesn't grow up, that's tragic. Now, how do you know when you're mature? Well, one of the ways you know when you're spiritually mature is you're able to explain life, the Christian life, and God's purposes to other people. Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. By now, you should be teachers. Instead, you need someone still to teach you. One of the marks of maturity is that you're able to pass on to others what you have learned about life. You see, maturity is not an end in itself. Maturity is for ministry. Now, let me be really clear. Some people are actually gifted to teach. They have the gift of teaching. And God doesn't give the gift of teaching to everybody, but God expects all of us to teach at some point in our life. We teach our friends. We teach our children. We teach each other. We teach in one-on-one conversations. You teach in a small group when you contribute. One of the goals of Saddleback Church is to help you grow so that you can teach others. That's what God wants us. By this time, you ought to be able to pass it on to be a teacher of others. We've got a lot of ways to help you do this. Class 101, Class 201, 301, and 401. We have the Daily Hope Devotional. We have Pastor Tom's Drive Time Devotions. The Bible says this, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Now, we all know it's good to have a plan if you're doing physical fitness, but you might need to think through, not might, you should need to think through a plan for spiritual fitness. So here's the question. I want to ask you, as we're looking at the year ahead, in which area of your life do you need to grow the most this year? Just, I want you to think about that. I want you to go home and think about this question, because this is the third purpose. If God wants you to grow and mature, you need to say, where am I going to grow and mature this year? Is it in, I need a better understanding of the Bible? That'd be a good growth goal. Is it, I need to learn to overcome temptation, a particular one in my life? That's a good goal. Is it obeying God in faith when it doesn't make sense and yet God says do it? And you go, well, I'm going to learn to do it in faith. Is it being more disciplined in an area of your life that's not disciplined? Is it growing in love and other Christ-like attitudes? These are all areas that God wants you to grow, and that's the third purpose of your life. Worship, center God in your life. Fellowship, learn to love His family. And then maturity or discipleship, learn to grow spiritually.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, we want to let you know that if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, you can simply go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Pastor Rick has a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Do you ever feel like your prayers get stuck in a rut? Would you like to know what God told me to do when my prayer life got stuck in a rut? It was a time when I just felt like I was praying the same thing over and over and over. In fact, I was beginning to wonder if God was even answering my prayers or even listening. Maybe you felt that way sometimes, or maybe you feel that way right now. So what did God tell me to do? Well, here's what He told me. It was such a powerful way to re-energize my prayer life, and it was so simple that I want to pass it on to you. God told me to do this. He said, Rick, start writing down what you're saying to me, and then I want you to write down what I say to you. Write down what you say to me, and then write down what I say to you. You see, it's really not that complicated. God just said I should start by writing down what I'm feeling, and then I should write down what He tells me after I've read His Word. It's really just a form of journaling. And spiritual journaling is a spiritual habit that will help your prayer stay fresh and effective. If you've never tried it, I'm begging you, try this for a week or two and see if it doesn't reinvigorate your prayer life. Journaling has many, many benefits to your spiritual life. It'll help you stay consistent in your prayers. It'll give you a permanent reminder of how God answers your prayers because you've written them down. It shows how God is working in your life. You can go back and review it. It'll even help you worship God more and more as you speak to Him. God speaks to people who care enough to write it down. So write down what God tells you, but you've got to have a place to do that. Now, I want to encourage you, and I want to help you take this simple step of learning this new spiritual habit in your prayers, of writing down your prayers and writing down your prayer requests. So what I did is I had my Daily Hope team create a brand new spiritual prayer journal. It's got a real simple to follow format that'll help you put into practice God's wisdom that is found in Philippians 4:6. That says this: don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Those four things are part of the format of our prayer journal for this year. It's really cool. You're going to love this tool.
This year, the Daily Hope Prayer Journal is themed after Psalm 19:1, where the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands." It has a soft, deep blue vegan leather cover, and it's packed full of scriptures and beautiful artwork that will help you enjoy writing down your prayers. Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a copy of this great resource as his way of saying thanks for your financial support. Go to PastorRick.com, that's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.